Well, good morning, everybody. I am Pastor Jeff Backer, and I serve as the senior pastor of St. Dismas, which is the congregations behind the walls of the South Dakota prison system. And this morning, I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ at St. Dismas. St. Dismas these days is alive and well, if you will. We'll celebrate our 35th year this year of being behind the walls of the South Dakota State Penitentiary System. We offer worship services every week in Sioux Falls, Springfield, and Yankton, and we're actually going to be in Pierce starting in February. So we're happy to be able to expand on what we're doing. Last year, we had about 568 unique individuals come to worship, Bible study, or pastoral care inside the walls. And this word of Christ and his forgiveness does amazing things. I actually screwed up the first service. I have baptized 16 guys in 2024. So 59 total since I came to St. Dismas 2 years ago. I always say it's not good to cry in prison, but I get to watch guys being baptized absolutely filled with emotion because it's one of the only times in their life that they're known and they're loved and they're told that they're remembered. Thank you for the possibility of making this ministry what it is. Spirit of Joy is a great partner with us. Also, families and individuals that make our work possible. We wouldn't exist without you. We can't exist without you. We are absolutely dependent on the greater church in order for us to do what we do. And you have been very generous. So again, hear that. Thanks. With that, I say commit again. Partner with us again this year. Find ways to engage with us, especially come and worship with us. That's the most impactful experience that people talk about over and over. We're back to worshiping on Thursday nights. We meet at about 6:15. We're done at about 8 o'clock. Yes, it takes 3 weeks to get your paperwork done. We have to do all that ahead of time, but it's worth it. Come and experience it. I know a lot of people come and they say, I was looking to kind of give something to them, and I find that it's a very common theme that people walk away being blessed by what they see and what they hear. I also use the bishop's own words, you will never be met by better hospitality than by St. Dismas. That is the truth. They really, really are grateful when people come. So come and visit us. Come and experience it. And again, thank you for your partnership to make this ministry possible. So as I begin today, I want to try something, a little exercise, if you will. I want you to complete these sentences. You can speak out loud. We're fine. We're Lutheran. It was the best of times. The hills are alive. 80 and ask not what your country can do for you. This is a stretch for some of you. A long time ago in a... We have Star Wars fans. Very good. These lines come from popular pieces of literature, movies, speeches. When we hear these phrases often, it takes us back into a memory. It takes us back to an event that we heard about or we were part of. We remember a story. Well, this is often the case, actually, also for our biblical writers. So let's try this again. The Lord is my shepherd. For God so loved the world. I challenge the first service. What is John 3:17? God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save it. The most important part of that whole text. I know an easy one. In the beginning. That's not so easy, is it? Because there's a couple of different ones, right? I might be recapitulating what you heard today from John's prologue, from John 1. In the beginning was the Word. But I also might be referring to those very first words in the whole biblical text, that from Genesis 1, where in the beginning God created. But there's an interesting thing that John does here in the Gospel of John. He, too, begins our text at the very beginning of understanding, the beginning of creation, actually. He asserts quite boldly that Jesus Christ, as God's only Son, came into the world, one, before the world even existed, but came into the world for you and for me. In the beginning, before God even uttered those words, "Let there be light," Christ already existed. John's prologue actually tells us the summary of the whole of God's story. In those 18 verses that we've heard today, in one fell swoop, John leaves us with no doubt as to who Jesus is from the very start. Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you today from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, who came into the world to save each and every one of you. Amen. So in the beginning, the Gospel of John starts very differently than the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels, of course, are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We don't get the usual family tree that we hear like from Matthew, where Matthew tells the story of Jesus' lineage through Joseph's family, proving, of course, that Jesus is of the lineage of the family of David or the house of David, where the Messiah will come from. We don't hear the birth story like we do in Luke, but we do hear in Matthew that the Holy Family are good Jews. Luke is more colorful, right? More descriptive. Tells the whole birth story. Shepherds and angels. Of course, shepherds we only hear once a year in the Christmas story. Then we lose them for the rest of the year. Luke also tells the whole Jesus story from Mary's family side, through the lineage of Mary's ancestry. Now, John does not move through the gospel account with the same brevity and intensity as Mark either. All three of the synoptic gospels tend to focus on the humanness of Jesus, if you will, but John focuses on the Christology. It's a big fancy church word. It's a seminary word, I always say. That is the theological matters of understanding the person of Jesus, the essence of Jesus, the nature and the role of Jesus. That is the Christology. So John goes back to the beginning and places Jesus in existence before God even created. And John wants us all to hear and to know again with certainty who Jesus is. Jesus is not only God, he is God speaking into our world, telling you and I that we are loved so much that he actually took on flesh and became one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. In doing so, God did not remain on high in some far-off place. No, he came present with us in our humanness, which is actually important when we get into understanding how sin is accounted for. If Christ did not actually take on humanness, it doesn't count. No, John does not start with the narrative of Jesus' life, but what we get is a creedal statement. It's a confession. It's a statement of belief. Most specifically, what you believe. It tells you who God is, and more importantly, it tells you who God is not. And most specifically, it tells you that he comes fully to us in his Son. Now, Jesus did not show up unannounced. We hear again today that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent to testify to the light so that all people might believe in Jesus through him. John was sent first as the last Old Testament prophet. His first message, of course, was, he's coming, right? We heard this early in Advent. However, with Jesus' presence made known, John's role changes, which is actually the same role that you and I have as well. He, John, we, you and I, are all preachers, called to speak the truth of Jesus Christ into the world. Most specifically, into the world around you. John was the one that held the first evangelism and outreach event in biblical history. He told everyone that had ears to hear, the light has come into the world. John also tells us that there is darkness in our world. And we know this, don't we? We have moments in life where we know darkness, real darkness. We grow up with an understanding that bad things happen in darkness sometimes, right? I talk to my guys about this all the time, the things not seen in light, right? When I was growing up, my dad used to tell me that nothing good ever happened after midnight, right? Good parental advice. And I think at face value, that's true. But I think if we push past it, if we kind of settle our initial fears of darkness, God actually shows us some pretty amazing things in the dark, doesn't he? Like this summer, we got to see a comet. We get to see the vastness of the Milky Way stars. Or some of us even got to see the auroras this summer, even here in southern South Dakota. There are different creatures that come out in the night. Dark in the day is when the world seems to slow down and hush just a little bit. But to be in darkness, which I know you all know, either literally or metaphorically, can be frightening, right? Surely it can be unsettling. Because at times we are caught in the darkness of life. Things happen. They happen to all of us, right? Or the devil whispers in our ears in those dark times and says things like, "Your God has abandoned you." Darkness can actually seem like death coming for us, and sometimes it literally is. Well, John quite directly tells us what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light to all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. I heard once that the light from a single candle on a cool, calm South Dakota night can be seen for over 11 miles. That we lose the candlelight because of the curvature of the earth, not because the light, the darkness puts out the light. Light is powerful. It's a powerful presence in our life. John was the one sent, prepared to prepare the way. Though John himself was not the light, he came to preach about the light. He came to tell others about that light. And he did a great job. He got people's attention. He pointed them to Jesus. John stood out amongst people. Maybe it was his weird clothes. Maybe it was his weird diet. Maybe it was his confusing riddles. We had one of them today. He'd say things like, "He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me." I don't know. How can someone come after me and be before me? Either way, John the Baptist did a great job announcing the kingdom of God and God's word had come into the world. And do you know how I know this? You're here. You are all here because John did this job so well. And the good news is the kingdom of God is present for you here today. It is why we come. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus himself is the spoken word of God into the created world who came from heaven to bring light and life to a world that did not know him or did not accept him. People didn't understand in Jesus' time, and I would say we have a hard time still understanding today. They were waiting for the promised Messiah. John said Jesus is the one, but they didn't believe, they didn't understand because their way of understanding the Messiah was different. They expected him to be a powerful politician or a great military leader. They expected him to come and conquer all of those pieces of their lives that had oppressed them. But Jesus came with grace and with truth. He came to serve, not the righteous, but he raised up the lowly, the broken, even the undeserving. There's a saying that I think fits here. Paul and I had a conversation about this earlier. I do like yours better, Paul. There's a theologian by the name of Walter Brueggemann, who's an Old Testament theologian. He's wonderful, deep. He's always right here. Brueggemann's quote is, "To live as if we believe it's possible that the gospel is true." That's powerful. I think we go through life not always believing the gospel is true. Their minds were made up. Often our minds are made up. They were made up so much that the crowds those days crucified him because they didn't understand or he didn't fit into the mold of their understanding. So today I ask you, who is Jesus to you? Is he simply an example to be followed in your life? Is he your guru for a better moral compass? Or is Jesus your Savior? Because there's a difference. The only true light shining through darkness of life. Now, Scripture tells us that there is and will always be darkness in life, but even more so, it tells us that God does not leave you there. Friends, the great promise that comes to us at Christmas is that Jesus came because God loves you and because God wants to send light and life into your life. He comes present to you, for you, to know that you are not abandoned ever and that he is right where he has promised to be in his word and in his son. God is God's word, and God's word became flesh and blood, and that is a certainty. It's the thing I love about the Lutheran faith. We don't preach speculation or opinions. We preach certainty, to know that God does what God said he's going to do. The word took on your sin and died for it, so that here today we can proclaim again, you are forgiven and free of all of that darkness of your life. No, Christ took that on as the word and dwells with us. We come today knowing that God has promised to be here in his word, and he is as he promised. You are a son and a daughter adopted into the family of God when you believe that this promise is for you. You are an heir to the estate of God, all of it. Not just pieces of it, fragments of it, or the crumbs of it. All of it is yours when you believe in Jesus Christ. So here's my last question. Finish it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Christ is here for you today. Thanks be to God. Amen.